on the road to Emmaus, two disciples were walking. Their hearts were sad as they were softly talking about their teacher friend who died on a cross. They just could not bear the thought of his loss. And the next one? A stranger then joined them and asked what was wrong. So they told him their story as they traveled along. They said, "Don't you know? Where can you have been? Have you not been to the city and seen?" Whoa, well, what were some of the sad things that had happened that they were talking about, do you think? Can you think about it? Think about Easter. What's the sad things that have happened? Yes. Jesus had died on the cross, hadn't he? And they'd watched as he was nailed to the cross. What were some of the other sad things that had happened at Easter? Yeah. They'd beaten Jesus, hadn't they? They'd beaten him with whips and he was in a terrible state. And what other sad thing had happened? Jesus had been put into something. What was he put into? He was put into a tomb, wasn't it? It was really sad. And they were talking all about those sad things that had happened. Well, when that stranger joined them, Cleopas, he was one of the people, he was really surprised. He thought, why has that happened? Who is this person who's joined us? How could anyone not know about Jesus? I mean, everybody knows about what's been happening with Jesus. The whole city is talking about him. So the two friends decide to tell the stranger their story. Now, shall we find out what it was? Are you ready? I need you to help the stranger to discover the story. Our leader called Jesus, who did marvelous deeds, like healing some lepers and calming the seas, and brought back to life some people who died, was betrayed by a friend, then arrested and tried. He was a man who never did wrong and was welcomed by people who joined in a throng to praise and to greet him as he came into town. They shouted, "Hosanna!" and threw their cloaks down. Now, who can remember what happened a week ago? Hint, subtle hint. Yes. It was Palm Sunday. And what happened on Palm Sunday? What happened on Palm Sunday? Did some palm trees grow? What happened on Palm Sunday? What did Jesus do on Palm Sunday? Can you remember? He rode on a donkey into Jerusalem, didn't he? That's right. He rode on a donkey and all the people were shouting, "Hosanna," weren't they? They were praising him and worshipping him and saying how great a king he was. It had been an amazing week. And they'd watched as their friend Jesus had entered into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey as the clouds cheered and sang to welcome him. Now, you need to help me with the next bit of the story now. They hailed him as a king, which made the priests mad. They wanted to find something to make him look bad. He didn't have lands, nor had he a court, and he had no weapons, so he couldn't have fought. No chariots were his, nor treasures untold. No armies had he, nor a crown of gold. He borrowed a donkey to ride on that day, as people threw palm leaves along his way. See, by now the friends there were tears in their eyes as they remembered how the crowd was so excited about Jesus. But then they turned against him and they wanted Jesus dead. And the religious leaders, they'd arrested Jesus and they sent him to the Roman governor called Pilate. And do you remember, boys and girls, who did Pilate decide to set free instead of Jesus? Begins with B. Barabbas. They said, "Barabbas! Set Barabbas free!" And Pilate said, "What should we do with Jesus?" And they said, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And so we come to the next part of the story. The priests and the people all wanted him dead. So they asked that Barabbas be freed instead. And although the witnesses all had lied, Pilate sent Jesus to be crucified. They beat him and whipped him and crowned him with thorns and taunted and mocked him by shouting their scorn. The soldiers of Rome banged nails through his hands, but he cried, "Father, forgive, they don't understand." And the friends, they remembered the crowds shouting for Jesus' death. And they remembered how Jesus had been beaten so badly, even though he'd done nothing wrong. And they cried as they remembered how they'd cried as Jesus was taken away from the cross that he'd been nailed to. And they were so puzzled. It didn't make sense. I mean, Jesus was meant to be a king. I mean, why was a king nailed to a cross? Why was a king buried in a tomb? They were so puzzled, like you were a bit puzzled about those pictures that we showed you earlier, but this was really big puzzles. How could Jesus, dying on a cross, be part of God's plan to save us? I mean, people who die are people who usually have failed. Jesus was meant to save people, but now he was dead. Does anybody know where they put Jesus' body when he died? Do you know? Have a go. In a tomb. And it wasn't even his own tomb. It was a borrowed one. It was a borrowed tomb that belonged to somebody called Joseph. And so we read on in the story, he died. Already, Lucy. He died and was buried in Joseph's own tomb. All we disciples were filled with dark gloom. What happened today was all we could say, and shaking our heads, we just walked away. Our hope was shattered when Jesus died. Was all that he promised us being denied? Where was his kingdom and promises too? This is what we can tell to you, they said to the stranger. So when Jesus died, it really did look like he'd failed, didn't it? It really did look like he hadn't been the king that they were hoping for. You see, in the Old Testament, the Bible promised that when the king came, he would put everything right. But Jesus didn't look like he'd put it right, did he? The disciples, they knew what the Old Testament said and about the loads and loads of promises about how God was going to send someone to rescue and to save people. And they were sure that Jesus was the person who was going to do that. But it looked like they'd got it all wrong, didn't it? But had they? They went to the tomb on the Sunday, and you know what they said? Something that we really are not sure about. We find it really hard to believe. They said that the tomb was empty, and they saw an angel, and the angel said that Jesus was alive. And then they said, but we don't really believe it. And the women don't normally make things up. Normally, they always tell the truth, but we find it so hard to believe that Jesus is really alive, and especially about the angels. And we saw him crucified. We can't really believe that he's alive. It can't be true. I mean, dead people don't come back to life, do they? So they told the stranger what had happened. Are you ready to read those words on screen again there? So all together, early today, Mary went to the tomb to anoint his body with fragrant perfume. But instead of a body, she found with surprise an angel was sitting in front of their eyes. And the tomb, it was empty with no one inside. "Where is the body?" she asked with some dread. The angel replied, "Why do you look for the dead? He is not here. He is risen instead." And so what does Mary do next? She sets off running, and she ran to find Peter and the others too. They didn't believe her, but ran to the tomb. and saw it was, as Mary had said, cold and bare. They looked and they looked, but he was not there. They went away saying, how is this true? But late in the day, when locked in their room, Jesus appeared and dispelled all their gloom. Yes, it was him. Jesus was alive. It was true. Well, that was what they'd heard, but they still didn't really believe it. And Cleopas and his friend, they didn't know what to think. I mean, whoever heard of somebody who was dead coming back to life again? I mean, dead people just don't do that, do they? It was all very confusing. What do you do when you're confused? Do you scratch your head? Do you go, when I'm confused, that's what I do. I usually scratch my head. Anyway, they decided that they would go home. I think it was very clear to the stranger that these two friends were having a hard time believing what the women had said. They hadn't seen Jesus alive, and it all just seemed too good to be true. And that was when the stranger spoke. Are you ready? Let's hear what the stranger has to say all together. The stranger said, how slow you are. Your hearts are... Oh, sorry. We'll bring it back again. Have we lost one? Is that one not there? I'll read that one to you. Right, okay. The stranger said, how slow you are. Your hearts are so cold. Try to take in what the prophets foretold. The Christ will come, but will be put to death by those who hate him with every breath. Have we got that one? And now together, he explained how the scriptures all pointed to him, whom God had appointed to save us from sin. From Moses to Micah and the Psalms to Isaiah, all these speak of the promised Messiah. And do you know what, boys and girls, older ones too, the stranger helped Cleopas and his friends to understand the big Bible story. He showed them that the message of the Old Testament wasn't about how we were to be good and to try to follow God's rules. It wasn't just a lot of interesting stories about Daniel and Moses and Elijah. No, the whole Bible was about how God made an amazing world, but how God put people in that world to live for him. But those people, they went their own way. And they decided they didn't want God to be their king. And so they didn't want to be God's friends anymore. People decided to live their way, not God's way. And they disobeyed God. And they went their own way. And that meant that their relationship with God was spoiled. And it meant their relationship with each other was spoiled. They couldn't get on with each other anymore. And it meant that the whole world was spoiled. That's what sin does, boys and girls. That's what it does. It ruins everything. But boys and girls, God had a plan. He knew that people would turn against him. He knew that he would send a rescuer. And that rescuer, boys and girls, was Jesus. The stranger showed our two friends how God's plan all along was to rescue people through Jesus dying on a cross for people's sins and then coming alive again from the dead. That's how God would defeat sin and death once and for all. Well, Cleopas and his friend were listening so much that they nearly walked right past the house where they lived. And Cleopas suddenly said, hang on, we've got to go back to our house. And off they went back to their house. And it was getting very late. And so they said to the stranger, come in and have some tea with us. And so the stranger stayed. And this is what happened. Are you ready? All together now. They got, oh, hang on. Oh, have we got there? Have we got one before that one? No, I'll read that one. They got to their home at supper time, and they said to the man come in and dine. You're welcome to share our bread and wine. He took the bread and gave God thanks. And then together, he broke the bread with nail-scarred hands. Their eyes were opened as then they saw. It was Jesus himself, of that they were sure. But as they took it in, he was with them no more. And Jesus disappeared. Maybe. That's it. Suddenly Cleopas and his friend knew who the man was. Who was it? It was Jesus, wasn't it? Who guessed it was Jesus early on? Did you guess it was Jesus? That's probably because I gave you a bit of a clue, didn't I? I nearly gave it away at the beginning, didn't I? It was Jesus all the time. And do you know what? Jesus appeared to lots of different people. Once he appeared to 500 people all at once. Jesus really was alive. He was living. And he explained it as he had explained the Bible to them. It was as if God himself had been talking to them. They said, in a moment, this next one that comes up, all right, he's got no pauses in it, so we're going to just keep going. So don't give any pauses, we just keep going. Dum, 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 dum. All right, so let's see if we can do this one together. Are you ready? They said to each other, weren't our hearts somehow burning within us as Jesus explained things concerning himself and the scriptures and what they were learning about him as we walked back home? How foolish we were to not understand what Jesus had told us about what God had planned. God gave us the answer to Adam's fall. His own precious son would die for us all. You see, the friends learned that day that it was through Jesus dying on the cross that God would rescue us. That was God's plan all along. And they learned how people's hearts could be changed by believing in Jesus. And God could make them into new people. Now they knew it. They had to share this good news. Have you ever heard something that is such good news that you had to go and tell other people about it? Like there was an Easter egg. I didn't see anybody rush out the door to go and tell people in the street, there's an Easter egg in the hunting here. That's because you wanted to keep them all for yourself though, wasn't it? But if there's good news, you want to share it. And so they knew that they had to go and share it. You know, it's already starting to get a bit dark, but they decided we've got to get back to Jerusalem. And it was 7 miles, but they were going to run and run and run. And so, you've got to keep up with me on this one now. We're going to be running, all right? So here we go. We're back to Jerusalem. Ready? Back to Jerusalem. They decided to go. Happier now. Their hearts were not low. The journey was long, but their feet fairly flew to tell the disciples the news was all true. They now had seen Jesus, alive and not dead. What joy filled their hearts as onward they sped. The miles slipped by as quickly they went, although the day was almost all spent. Are you keeping up? Are you keeping up? Keep on going. Half a mile, half a mile, half a mile on, eager to find Peter, Andrew, and John. Hearts full of hope and spirits revived to spread the good news that Christ is alive. Darkness, depression, doubt and despair all disappear when Jesus is there. He lifts our spirits, restores our souls. Only Jesus can make us whole. Boys and girls, adults, we have the same Bible that those disciples had explained to them by Jesus. Jesus showed these two friends that the Bible is God's big story. A great big story that tells one story. The story about Jesus. Of how he came to die on a cross and how he rose again from the dead. It's the story of how God made the world good. so that we could live in God's presence and we could be friends with him, loving him and loving one another. But the Bible also tells the story of how it all went wrong, how Adam and Eve rejected God's rule over them, and like we do just the same, by our attitudes, by our actions, we show that we're really God's enemies and that we've been separated from God, the God who loves us and who made us. And what's worse, because of that, the Bible says we can't live with God in his perfect heaven. But God is our loving creator. And although he hates our sin, boys and girls, and older ones too, he chose to do something about the evil that was in the world and the suffering that we've caused. And so he came into the world in the person of Jesus. And he comes into the world to rescue sinners, to renew the world, and to restore his people. And he does it through the death and the resurrection of Jesus. But you know, that's not the end of the story. The story doesn't end with Jesus dying on the cross. It doesn't even end with the resurrection. God has promised that one day, Jesus is going to return to this world, and he will judge sin and evil, and he will bring in a new kingdom of righteousness and peace. And all who know Jesus will go to live with him forever. And God will get rid of all the evil in the world once and for all. And I think that's a good reason to celebrate, don't you? I think we need to say, this is a happy day, a day of celebration. And I was just thinking about it, and there's a song that goes with that, a song called Happy Day. I think we'll sing it together now, because it's just such a great song. One from there, more to say. And I want to, at this point, do something a little bit different. I want to show you a story. It's a story that's going to come up on the screen. And it's a fairy tale. Well, it's not a fairy tale. Or it is, but it's not. So I want you to watch and just think about what's being said. So a little short fairy tale for you now.
Princess was as
true. It really happened. I wonder if this morning you believe that Jesus, God's son, really did die in your place. Do you believe that he really has risen from the dead? Because of Easter, each one of us, through faith in Jesus, can be forgiven. We can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. We can really know a relationship with the living God. We can live our lives for him and one day live with him forever in his kingdom. I wonder, have you given your life to the Lord Jesus? Have you ever asked him to come into your life and to change you and to be your Savior and your friend? There could be no better day to do that than Easter Day. So today, I wonder if you'll respond to the Easter message, if you'll come to Christ, if you'll turn to him and ask him to forgive you and to be your Savior, because he wants to give life in all its fullness right now. If you'd like to know more, we're going to sing a song in a moment, our final song. But if you would like to know more, I've got two booklets. One's for children. If you really want to know more about what it is to follow Jesus, we've got a little booklet here. Some of you already got that one, but if you haven't, that one's for you. And I've also got a little booklet here called The Real Easter, which can explain a bit more about what the real Easter message is all about and how you can know that for yourself. Well, we're going to pray and then we're going to sing together our final song. And as we do so, we'll be taking our offering as we sing. Let's pray now together. So nice and quiet with your instruments. Keep them, leave them there on the floor. Now you've got them, that's great. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Easter. We thank you for the celebration. And Father, we thank you that we've been able to lift up our voices with great joy and delight and celebrate that Jesus really is alive. And Father, we pray now that you would help this message of Easter. May you bring it home to each of our hearts, to the youngest and to the oldest. That Father, the reality that you sent your son Jesus to die for our sins and that he rose victorious from the grave, that we might believe that message. That as we put our trust in you, Lord Jesus, we might know the joy of our sins forgiven, the joy of knowing you, the living God who came to rescue us, and that we might know the joy of living for you not just at Easter, but every day of the year. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.